Hello and good morning. I want to welcome everybody this morning to the Shift Weight Mastery Expert Series. We are so delighted and excited to have Dr. Michelle May with us this morning. I'd like to welcome Dr. May, and she is a recovered yo-yo dieter and the CEO and founder of Am I Hungry? Mindful Eating Programs and Training. And Am I Hungry? Helps people resolve mindless and emotional eating so that they can live the vibrant life they crave. Over 400 health professionals have been trained to facilitate Am I Hungry? Mindful Eating workshops worldwide. Their website, www.amihungry.com, offers numerous free resources as well as information about Am I Hungry? And I can just testify that this is a really great website full of lots of useful information. And I know a lot of people in our Shift community are very interested and invested in mindful eating and learning how to break that binge eating syndrome that we so often fall into when we struggle with weight. AmIHungry.com offers numerous free resources as well as information about Am I Hungry workshops, coaching, and retreats. Dr. May is also, which is so exciting, the award-winning author of the book series Eat What You Love, Love What You Eat, which I can also testify is a fantastic book, well thought out, with lots of just great information and tools that teaches mindful eating for yo-yo dieting, diabetes, bariatric surgery, and binge eating. Michelle has been featured on the Discovery Health Channel, Dr. Oz, Oprah Radio, and quoted in Health, Self, Redbook, WebMD, Woman's Day, Huffington Post, and numerous other publications. Her personal success story is featured in Chicken Soup for the Dieter's Soul. Michelle's unique yet common sense approach will change the way we think about eating. Please welcome Dr. Michelle May.
Thank you so much, Rita. I'm so glad to be with you.
Well, thank you so much for your time. I know you're a very busy woman, but I do think that what you have to teach people is so valuable, especially in this day and age when people are just so overwhelmed in their lives already. And I think that leads to a lot of wanting to self-medicate and self-soothe, which then leads to these binge eating cycles. But maybe you can start by just introducing us to yourself a little bit about your own binge or yo-yo dieting syndrome that you went through and had to come through in order to be where you are today?
You know, I think that's an important place to start because many of us that are really passionate about our work have some essence, some nugget that really comes from a very personal experience. Mm-hmm. For me, this all started before I was even a teenager. I was an overweight child long before it was an epidemic, quote unquote, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, I think my parents were just trying to help me, but they supported me in my efforts to try diet after diet. And before I was out of my teens, I had developed significant disordered eating and mm-hmm. took that with me into college and then into medical school. And for many, many years, I sort of carried this weight on my shoulders, if you will, that I was really convinced that I just was lacking somehow, that somehow I just didn't have enough willpower or hadn't found the right diet. And because I am a very tenacious individual, I kept trying over and over and mm-hmm. over again. Clearly, this wasn't an issue of lack of knowledge or lack of willpower or lack of ability. I was succeeding in other areas of my life. But this dieting and weight and disordered eating continued to haunt me. It really wasn't until I was several years into my own practice that I began to wonder whether this was really a fault of my own, because I kept hearing the same story from so many of my patients. That pattern became really obvious to me that many of us were doing the same things over and over again. And you know that definition of insanity.
Yes.
If you do the same thing over and over again and it's not working. And it really occurred to me at that point that maybe the problem was not as much a personal fault of my own, but maybe the paradigm, the entire process that I'd been using by that time for over 2 decades was flawed, too flawed to fix, in fact.
Right.
And that really began the journey of my own recovery and really the passion for my life's work.
That's fantastic. So what you figured out on your own journey to your intuitive eating was definitely forging the path for your work today.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think what is so important about this is that many of us who've struggled with these issues have taken on this weight that I mentioned, this weight on our shoulders, this mm-hmm. belief that there's something fundamentally wrong with us.
Right.
And
right.
so we continue to search outside for the answer. And really, this belief, I think, keeps us stuck in old patterns. And so my work, and I believe your work, is really about helping people recognize these patterns. In fact, these patterns are so predictable that I describe them in my book in the very first chapter. And one of the most common things that people tell me or email me after reading that first chapter is, it feels like you're walking in my head. It feels like you've been sitting on the couch watching me. It feels like I've spoken to you before. And I think that's because, yes, I too have been down that path, but these cycles are so predictable that once we understand them and recognize them in ourselves, we then have the power to change them. And I think that's really exciting and empowering and really revolutionary. The
right.
ironic thing about it is that it's really just common sense stuff, or maybe I should say uncommon sense. It's really common sense stuff. And once people get it, it can transform the entire way that they think about food and eating, and most importantly, about themselves.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. I think that what we often find is that when we struggle with weight, and I can share, I won't share my own weight struggle now, but very similar to yours, and I think very similar to most of the people on this call, is that when we become habitualized into this sort of what I call all or nothing, good or bad, on or off way of thinking, you know, you could write a New York Times bestselling diet book with all of your knowledge about food. I mean, so many of my clients know so much about food, about
more
exercise.
More than their doctors, usually.
Exactly.
As a retired family doctor, I can attest to that, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, so people are incredibly well informed, and in fact, this creates this even worse feeling of like, I know my mother was obese and she majored in nutrition at Berkeley. I mean, so it's not from lack of knowledge. It is these ingrained habitual thinking systems that then when we go on a diet, we give our power away to the structure of the diet
mm-hmm.
rather than, and then when the diet goes away, we have learned nothing. And so what mm-hmm. I appreciate about the type of work that you do is it's all about retraining and taking back your power and retraining those internal processes, which ultimately lead you back to yourself and ultimately lead to feeling confident and free from
yes, and
trouble.
I have to add, and I think this is important. One of the shifts that has occurred in my work over the last 14 years is that I really no longer see this as a problem with weight. In
mm-hmm.
fact, I think many of us have been in this cycle enough times to know that when we're at our quote unquote goal weight, we're still thinking and talking about food just as much and in the same
right.
kinds of ways that we did when we were overeating. So for me, this pattern has really become about the mind games and thoughts that we harbor, not so much about the outer manifestation, because I know plenty
absolutely.
Of people, in fact, at our last binge eating retreat, fully a third of the people that were there would never have come to the attention of their physician. They were not overweight.
Right.
And so, you know, but their heads, their thought
yes.
process was
right.
clearly still about food and eating and not eating and, you know, these kinds of things. And so that's really the freedom that I want to offer people is how to move away from that obsession with food and dieting and weight and into a place where you have enough space in your life to do the things that you really want to do. And no surprise, the more you do those things, the less food matters.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I would love to ask you a little bit about, I mean, I've certainly gotten so much out of your book, Eat What You Love, Love What You Eat, How to Break Your Eat, Repent, Repeat Cycle. And that's such a brilliant subtitle. Can you tell us a little bit about that in and of itself? Please just tell us more about like how you came up with that and how that represents the kind of work you do.
Yes, I appreciate that because, you know, I've used the term yo-yo dieting several times, and I want to talk about that metaphor a little bit because I think it's a very good description of what many of us have experienced. If you think about the way a yo-yo works, you're on the diet or you're off the diet. You've got yourself wound up all tight, thinking and talking about food all the time. Or you've said, what the heck, and you let it go, and it goes all the way down to the bottom again.
Mm-hmm.
And then after you spend a bit of time at the bottom and feeling bad about yourself and shame and guilt and all of these negative thought processes, you decide it's time to get back on that diet, and you wind yourself back up, maybe on the same diet, maybe you try something else. And then you find yourself all wound up and tight again, and you can barely muster the energy to sustain that anymore, and so back down you go. Well, that's a great description because a yo-yo never stops in the middle for most people. I mean, there's probably a small percentage of people who know the fancy walk the dog trick, but most of us are on the diet or off the diet. We're
exactly.
wound up tight or we're, you know, not following it anymore. And so that's that old yo-yo paradigm that clearly doesn't work. And it's not that it doesn't work for you or it doesn't work for me. It does not work. It's not a sustainable pattern for most people.
Mm-hmm.
So how to break your eat, repent, repeat cycle is really about changing that yo-yo to a completely different model. So let's let the yo-yo wind all the way down to the bottom and picture a pendulum instead.
Mm-hmm.
So now you see the pendulum swing, and sometimes you may overeat and sometimes you may undereat. Sometimes you may eat things that don't particularly support your health goals but maybe are kind of fun.
Right.
But other times you're really mindful about your choices and choosing well for your body and you're feeling great. So we can see this pendulum, and we know that there are still extremes in our behavior. But what happens with a pendulum is when you give those extremes less energy, you referred to it as all or none, black or white, good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
When we give those extremes less energy, then that pendulum begins to find a smaller arc in the middle. That smaller arc naturally swings with flexibility. We naturally have the ability to eat a piece of birthday cake if we really want it, to eat a salad with the dressing if we choose, to use food in a way that's both pleasurable but also nourishing. And
right.
we naturally balance that enjoyment and nourishment. So it's, I think, a wonderful way of thinking about how the small changes that we make, oftentimes that begin between our own ears, those small changes that we make help us find that arc in the middle that we can sustain. And what's
right.
lovely about it is that that arc is different for each person. This is not a prescription. It's not a rigid diet plan. It's about you discovering what works best for you in your life, your food preferences, your health goals, your family history, your cultural preferences, so that you actually find the arc in your life and then can naturally sustain it without having to expend all this energy and stress that dieting creates.
Absolutely. And that's very well said. And what I think you're talking about as well is that relationship with food just takes on a different filter, because food is neither good or bad, but it's more a question of how is this food going to be in my body? Is it going to be nourishing? Is it going to be pleasurable? And it allows you to just have a different relationship with food, instead of what I see so often is that people actually get to this point where they fear food, any food. And you know, none of us want food to have that place in our life. It's, you know, this world is full of food. We
absolutely
don't want to
have. It really creates so much stress to fear food or to fear our own behavior around food, and at the same time be exposed to it constantly. It's really a difficult place that we find ourselves. And so I love this that it's actually possible for us to develop that healthy relationship with food that allows us to exist, literally allows us to walk into any environment not knowing what food is going to be there, and know with full confidence that I'll be able to manage that situation no problem.
Yeah, that is, it's such a relief, and it's such an exhilarating feeling of freedom. And
mm-hmm.
It must be wonderful for you to help people achieve that in your work. I know it is in mine, and I'm curious, when you describe, you had mentioned in some of your writings 6 decision points where people manage their eating. Can you talk a little bit what a decision point is and describe a few? I find that very intriguing.
Yeah, you bet. You and I talk a bit about mindful eating or mindfulness, and I developed a paradigm that I think really helps, or a model that I think really helps us look at all the different decisions that go into eating. So this model, this mindful eating cycle, allows us to kind of artificially but amazingly accurately describe all the decisions that we make. So in the mindful eating cycle, if you can sort of imagine a clock up at 12 o'clock, at the very beginning is the question, why do I eat? And I believe that everything starts with why. Everything starts with why.
Absolutely.
Until we understand why we're doing something, it doesn't matter what we do, because ultimately it's the why that drives those subconscious decisions that we make.
Absolutely.
The next decision point at 2 o'clock is, when do I eat, or when do I feel like eating?
Mm-hmm.
At 4 o'clock, what do I eat? In other words, what do I choose from all the available options?
Mm-hmm.
6 o'clock is, how do I eat? Physically, mm-hmm. how does the food get into my body?
Mm-hmm.
And then at 8 o'clock, how much do I eat, or when do I stop eating?
Mm-hmm.
And then at 10 o'clock, where do I invest the energy that I've consumed? In
mm-hmm.
other words, what do I do with my fuel? How do I expend my energy? How do I care for my body, mind, heart, and spirit? So these questions, why do I eat, when do I eat, what do I eat, how do I eat, how much do I eat, and where do I invest the energy, ultimately are decision points. These are things that we are doing all day long in terms of food and eating, but for many people these are completely unconscious or habitual, mindless decisions. They're doing what they always did. In other words, they are reacting or reacting out the past over and over again.
Mm.
So the power of mindfulness is that it teaches us to become aware. We learn to pause instead of reacting. So when we pause, we have the ability to respond. In other words, we have response ability.
Right.
So mindfulness is about becoming aware of the decision points, noticing that I feel like eating, wondering why do I feel like eating, noticing whether I'm hungry or not. Then if I am, choosing food that, as you mentioned before, will satisfy me both physically and emotionally, that will be both nourishing and nurturing. So all of these decisions then become within our realm of management. so we can actually choose how we're going to decide, how we're going to do eating versus reacting unconsciously.
Right. I love that. And I think just from a cognitive standpoint, it's so interesting when you ask yourself questions that engages the brain on a deeper level than telling ourselves. I often think because of the dieting paradigm of, you know, eat this, eat that, you know, good or bad, on or off, what we get habitualized in is responding to and being good versus so that all that when we're caught up in something, all we're doing is either judging ourselves in our behavior rather than asking ourselves the question, well, what am I going to eat, or how hungry am I? And that, in a way, I see this journey into healthy eating, mindful eating, integrated eating as an apprenticeship. You know, and an apprentice always asks the master, and I always see ourselves as the apprentice and the master both, but the asking of questions engages the brain just so much more powerfully than telling ourselves, because I think you're a mom, and you're a mother of a, how old are your children?
Well, now they're both in college and master's program, so.
Oh, fantastic. That's so great.
Yes.
But, you know, when you tell your child or you tell your husband or you tell your friends something, do this, do that, you don't get the same response as if you ask a question. And I think when it just engages the brain differently. So I love how you've structured this whole, what you call this clock and these questions around just tuning into yourself. Each of those is an opportunity to tune into yourself and engage your brain on a deeper level. And therefore, like you said, take that pause and retrain the brain in a different direction.
Well, the powerful thing about it, and I'm glad you pointed this out, because I do believe that the essence, the difference between am I hungry, mindful eating programs, and all the other things out there in general, is that it really is an inside-out approach. Mm-hmm. If you go back to the pendulum model that I described, you know, overeating or binge eating is this intense feeling of being out of control. I know what I should do. I know what I should eat. I know what my plan says, and I just can't make myself do it. Mm-hmm. Well, then we get on the diet, and we go all the way in the other direction on this pendulum, where we're restrictive and rigid and following the rules and thinking and talking about food. And so now we're back in control, and for a brief period of time, it feels like such a relief, mm-hmm. which is why people go back to it again and again, is that feeling of being in control. But it takes so much energy to stay in control all the time. So asking yourself questions and being aware of these decision points is really about being in charge instead. I think there's a big difference between being in control and in charge. And it's that process of awareness of what my options are and then choosing, so that the choice to eat a cookie has no more power over me than the choice to eat an apple.
Right. Absolutely. And I think the distinction, like you said, being in charge offers you your freedom, you know, because mm-hmm. when you're in tune with yourself in that way. What would be so how can we begin to change our decision-making process to make more mindful and healthy decisions? Is it a matter of, you know, when you work with people, is it a matter of just becoming aware of the paradigm and beginning to tune in to these times and places in your day?
Yeah, I do think that awareness is always the first step. We can't change anything that we're not aware of. So the awareness of the decisions that I'm making and how I develop these patterns and what those patterns look like really becomes a very powerful tool. So mindfulness, I think, is really the key to all of this. Now, the challenge, of course, is that many people are so stuck in the old paradigm that they have paradigm blindness. They can't mm-hmm. even see out of it because, because they can't see through it, much less break through it, right?
Right.
You know,
yes.
That's how paradigms are. And so I always start by describing that mindful eating cycle, whether I'm speaking to, you know, an individual or maybe a group of participants at a retreat, or tomorrow I go to Canada to address the dietitians of Canada, 600 or 700 dietitians.
Wow, okay.
Whether no matter who I'm speaking with, it's always about understanding that mindful eating cycle and beginning to use that mindful eating cycle to look at patterns, overeating patterns, restrictive eating patterns, and then ultimately the goal, a mindful eating pattern where I get to be in charge.
Yes. Fantastic. And so and I know you work with a lot of professionals. You work with therapists, dietitians, doctors, and you do trainings as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I did the work for about 7 years with a small group of professionals here in my community, and began speaking at lots of conferences about this. And it didn't take very long before people started asking to learn how to do this in their own practices and communities and corporations. So we developed a training program back in 2006, and as you mentioned in the introduction, we've trained over 400 health and wellness professionals so far to do this work. Our newest training that I'm really excited about is our Mindful Eating for Binge Eating Therapist training. So in addition to training people to address yo-yo dieting, we now actually can help people who have a diagnosis or at least the symptoms of binge eating disorder. So that training is a little bit more involved because we're working with behavioral health professionals who want to learn not just the workshop part of the
right.
program, but also the small group therapeutic part of the program. But it's amazing. I mean, we've done 2 retreats so far using this paradigm, plus the research that Dr. Anderson conducted, and it's amazing. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing to watch people who may have spent decades of their life in this binge, repent, repeat cycle,
right.
suddenly in a mere 5 days or a 10-week workshop, just open up and suddenly begin to think about food and themselves in an entirely new way. It's perhaps the most exciting work I've done in my entire career to just watch how this happens.
That must be incredibly gratifying. What would be the first few steps that a person would take in your opinion, if you were going to give people on the call today just sort of a takeaway connection to, other than reading your book and working with you in some way, what would be the first couple of steps that they could begin to take charge today?
Well, it might sound overly simplistic, but I find, as you probably do, that sometimes the power is in the simple things.
Yes.
And so I really think that the simplest and most effective thing that you can do is every time you feel like eating, pause for a moment and ask yourself, am I hungry?
Mm.
Am I actually physically hungry? Now think about how simple this idea is. If you got in your car to make a long drive, maybe to the next town over, and you were on the freeway and you saw a gas station sign, you might think to yourself, I wonder if I need to get some fuel.
Right.
And then what would you do next?
You would look at your gas gauge.
You'd check your fuel gauge, wouldn't you?
Yes.
And that's exactly what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
You wouldn't pull off of every freeway ramp to every gas station and fill up every time you thought, maybe I need gas.
Mm-hmm.
Yet many people are in the habit of eating every time they have that thought, I want to eat. And
right.
so mindful eating teaches us to pause and start to tune into what's actually happening in the moment. So every time you feel like eating, you pause, you ask yourself the question, am I hungry? And then you check in, a brief body-mind-heart scan to notice what physical symptoms that you're having, what thoughts are present at that moment, what feelings or emotions are present at that moment, to become aware of triggers or cues in the environment, perhaps an emotional trigger or cue that drove that desire to eat. And then noticing, where did this desire to eat come from, so that you can then make the next decision based on where that desire came from, rather than immediately lapsing into diet think, which is, let's see, what's the lowest calorie food I can have? How many points do I have left? What am I allowed to eat? What am I going to eat now that I'm off my diet? You know, it's much more about why do I feel like eating than immediately jumping into what am I going to eat.
Right, right. Yes, it's so profound, the more simple. And again, and I can see how that would just begin, even though it sounds very simple, a very profound inner internal rewiring of that response system, because so much of that all or nothing break in the mind is habit, you know. Oh, well, I'm off. So, and then we just fall back into that old wiring. I wanted to ask you about you, because you did mention retreats, and I know it's summer, so sometimes people have the time to come and, you know, maybe do a more intensive work with you. You have something coming up in June. Is this for just therapists, or is it you have a retreat coming up, correct?
That's right. It's our Eat Mindfully, Live Vibrantly workshop and retreat. I unfortunately don't have the time anymore to teach longer workshops, 8-week workshops like our facilitators do, but I still love to do these intensive retreats. So the next one we have is coming up in June. It's actually June 22nd through the 26th, and we do it at this lovely place, the Red Mountain Resort and Spa, which is in southern Utah near St. George. And I love that place because it's an absolutely gorgeous environment with absolutely fabulous food and hiking and classes and all kinds of things going on. So what we do is we weave the entire Am I Hungry Mindful Eating workshop through 5 days with loads of time for other activities and rest and importantly, community. Because I think so many of the people that come to our retreats have felt so alone, have felt like they are the only ones who thinks these things or deals with these things, and oftentimes live in secrecy with their own thoughts and fears about food and eating and themselves. So coming to a group like this allows them to meet other people who may have been struggling with similar things, and really to create a community that, as we start to learn these new strategies and skills, they have that support system, that person who says, I get you, and I've been there, and we can do this. It's just amazing. It's just an amazing thing to be a part of.
Yeah, no, it's and the community aspect of that is, sounds very powerful. I know with the workshops we do, the community thing is huge. And so that's on the 22nd. Okay. And I will be posting links to that information too after this call. But that sounds really exciting. So it's how many days is it?
This one is 5 days.
5 days.
Now, we do 3 or 4 retreats every year. This particular one is one of our most popular, but our newest retreat is that mindful eating for binge eating retreat that I mentioned earlier. Next one on that will be coming up in October here in Arizona in a place called, get this, Carefree. It's absolutely perfect. Carefree Arizona, to learn how to break free from binge eating. Couldn't have designed it better myself.
Oh my gosh. And that gives people time to think about that. And because I definitely see more and more binge eating popping up, like you said, even because a lot of clients come to me, they are at their ideal weight or less than their ideal weight, and they're just struggling in that. So viciously.
That's right. In the binge eating retreat, we work with clients or participants, and we train therapists at the same time. So
fantastic.
It's really a wonderful combination of of immersion, but also training other people so that we have more therapists available in different areas. Because, you know, a lot of therapists, even great eating disorder therapists, are stuck with trying to apply eating disorder treatments that we've used for other disorders, and they don't work. Binge eating is an entirely different problem,
yes,
with an entirely different set of etiologies, and this program really, really works. So when we can get therapists trained, we can get people the help where they need it.
Wow, fantastic. I'll have to think about that for myself.
Oh, I'd love to have you come. That would be fabulous. Maybe you can lead some sessions yourself.
Do you have time for a few questions from
our
audience? Okay.
Absolutely, I'd love to.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. And again, thank you so much for your time. One question from Diane, Diane in Washington State, is just how does one, well, this is, she said, is a very broad question, looking for the magic bullet type answers, but I often find myself overeating without even being aware that I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So she just wanted to put that comment out there and kind of ask, so how do you tune in when you're not even aware that you're doing it?
That's already, right now, the fact that you're asking that question is a wonderful first step. It's a wonderful first step. So this process is so much about waking up to what we're doing, waking up to those little moments, those situations. And I will say that mindful eating is really a doorway into mindful living, because think of how often we're on autopilot in our day-to-day lives. I mean, how many of us have pulled up to a four-way stop sign and had no idea who was supposed to go next because we weren't paying attention when we got there?
Mm-hmm.
If we can drive a 2-ton vehicle without paying attention, we can certainly eat an entire bag of Cheetos without paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, this awareness that when I'm present in my life, when I'm present to what's happening in this moment, I have an opportunity to change. If I continue to do everything on autopilot, I have no opportunity, because my brain has no choice but to go down those well-worn paths, to
mm-hmm.
do what I've always done, because that's what it knows best. It's like ruts in a road. We just get stuck and we can't pull out.
Right.
So again, the question of, am I hungry? Noticing that I feel like eating, and then gently pausing. Just gently pausing at whatever point I recognize that I'm disconnected or not paying attention, to gently pause and say, okay, wait, pause. What's happening right now? What am I physically feeling? What am I thinking? What am I emotionally feeling? What's happening right now in my body? And that moment that I pause and start to tune in, it opens the doorway to awareness about what's really happening.
Right.
So yes, it's a broad question, but it's an essential question, because if we don't get out of autopilot, if we keep doing what we always did, we're going to keep getting the same results.
Mm-hmm.
There's really no other choice.
Right. And again, I think that asking of a question brings you back to yourself and opens the door for a conversation with yourself that ultimately is going to lead to a deeper relationship with yourself.
I think that's really important, because sometimes those of us who've done a lot of dieting in the past, sometimes we disconnect because we don't like what our choices are if we were to pay attention to the fact that we want to eat. We don't like the idea that if we actually think about eating, we won't be allowed to have what we really want.
Exactly.
Well, you know, nowhere in this 40 minutes that we've talked have I mentioned anything about not eating if you're not hungry, or mm-hmm. not eating certain foods. That's not part of what we do or teach.
Right.
We truly believe that all foods can fit into a healthy, balanced diet.
Mm-hmm.
We truly believe that chocolate is allowed, if you will. In fact, as you know, there's a
reinforced
piece of chocolate on all of my books. And, you know,
picture.
we really think that once you let go of that restrictive diet mentality, the freedom to ask yourself questions and to lead from the inside out suddenly encourages you to do it more and more, unlike dieting, which gets harder and harder as time goes on.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, I do think that people ultimately, when they start working with themselves in this way, really, it's, I call it loving yourself down the scale. It's really a, such a powerful love story with yourself, because you really get to meet yourself in a different way and ask yourself those deeper questions. Mm-hmm. And that you said, ultimately, and most people, when they start doing this kind of work with themselves, they this trains them in asking those deeper questions in other areas of their lives, which opens many more doors than they ever thought would be open to them, you know, just starting to work in this way.
You know, I think this is important because I on our Facebook page the other day, I posted, don't settle for food when you need conversation, rest, appreciation, or fun. Mm. So here's this idea that in a diet paradigm, I'm restricting and depriving myself of the things I love. In this paradigm, when I ask myself, am I hungry, and I realize that I'm not, I'm actually giving myself an opportunity to meet my true needs. It's not that I'm depriving myself of food. In fact, when I eat food that I don't need, I'm depriving myself of meeting my true needs. No wonder it takes so much food to feel satisfied. No wonder I keep going back to the refrigerator again and again. When a craving doesn't come from hunger, eating can't satisfy it. So ultimately, acknowledging that the whole point of this is to begin to meet my true needs so that I live this abundant, vibrant life that I crave.
Yes. And doesn't that sound amazing?
Feels amazing, too. It really does.
Yes. So that is a fantastic answer to that question, Diane. I hope you feel like the question was answered. I have one more question, if you have the time, because I know we're running towards the end of our time.
Absolutely. No, I'd love to.
Okay. So why am I attracted to certain foods that I know are bad for me and are going to make me feel like crap?
Well, in not surprisingly, the answer is in the essence of the question that you asked. And the key word there is bad for me. Mm-hmm. So I think that when we label foods as good or bad, I think we begin to actually give those foods power over us. So experiment with removing those good and bad labels from food. And go back to the last part of your question, which was foods that make me feel bad. Okay, mm-hmm. Feel bad, not bad foods, right? So what this again gets toward is this inside-out process. It's not about labeling foods good or bad. It's about noticing mindfully how I feel when I eat certain foods. Or for me, it's usually not about eating certain foods. It's about eating certain amounts of certain foods. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm aware of this, I can practice balance, variety, and moderation in my eating. And I truly can eat anything that I love. But I know that if I overeat certain things that I might feel bad. And when I become aware of that, instead of applying guilt and shame to myself, I say, ooh, gosh, I don't like the way I feel. What did I eat, or how did I eat, or how much did I eat? Why do I feel this way? And what could I do differently next time to feel better? Now right. I'm not shaming and blaming myself. I'm using my own awareness of how I feel to make different choices the next time.
Exactly.
Very different. Guilt and regret are completely different ideas. So you can regret how you feel and use that, as we say, don't miss the lesson, don't miss the lesson, but not beat yourself up and hold it over your head or restrict and deprive or punish yourself with exercise, but to just use the lesson and move on.
Right. And if you do use that lesson, that binge or that painful episode then becomes a sort of a golden nugget or a doorway to an opportunity again to reconnect with yourself. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very well said. Thank you. Thank you so much. Michelle May, I would like to thank you so much for your time with us here today. What a valuable conversation, and what wonderful work you're doing. I'd like for those people who joined us late just to know that they can reach access information. A lot of information is available on Dr. May's website, Am I Hungry, which is www.amihungry.com. She does have a workshop coming up on June 22nd. It's a 5-day workshop. I will be sending out links and information along with a recording of the full conversation that we've had here today. And for those of you just tuning in too, this has been a monthly mastery experts call with the Shift Weight Mastery community, and that's www.shiftweightmastery.com. And Dr. May, thank you so much for being with us today. I hope we get to have another conversation with you in the near future, maybe about binge eating more towards the end of the summer, towards your next retreat.
That would be wonderful. And if I can mention, on the website, amihungry.com, your listeners can download the first chapter of Eat What You Love, Love What You Eat for
fantastic.
Free. I think that's really helpful for people to read it for themselves, to decide for themselves whether it feels right or not for them. So that's easy to find on our website in the Marketplace tab.
Okay, perfect. That is great. And it is such a phenomenal book, so I do urge you all to go check that out and consider pursuing working with Dr. May more. So thank you so much, and have a fantastic day, Dr. May, and have a wonderful trip to Canada training all those dietitians.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Rita. You have a wonderful week.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.